Oh, what a night. The nectar of life. Yeah. Well, off to start my day. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Who is that?
God.
God? You startled me.
Well, you called me.
Called you? I was just praying.
Well, here I am. Why did you call?
Well, I didn't really mean anything by it. It's just my daily prayer, you know?
Good. Go right on.
Okay. Hallowed be thy name.
What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name?
Well, I mean, well, I don't know what it means. It's just part of the prayer.
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Well, sure. Why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Well, I guess not much, but I'm just thinking if you could control things down here like you do up there, everything'd be a whole lot better.
Do I have control of you?
Well, I try to go to church most Sundays.
That's not what I asked you. What about those habits in your life that you know are in direct conflict with my will?
But Lord, I mean, I'm as good as most people at our church.
Now wait just a minute. I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with those who are praying for it, like you.
I guess you're right, Lord. I do have some issues to work on.
Now we are getting somewhere.
Look, Lord, I've kind of got to finish this thing up. This has taken a lot longer than usual. Give us this day our daily bread.
David, you need to lay off the bread.
Oh, come on! What is this, pick on me day?
Praying is a dangerous thing. You could wind up changed. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Remember, you called me, and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep on praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
Now I am afraid.
Afraid of what?
Because I know what you're going to say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
What about?
I knew you were going to bring that up. Lord, you know how much they hurt me, and I know it's wrong to want revenge, but come on.
Forgive and I will forgive you. Then it will be their problem and not yours. You will have settled the matter in your heart and before my throne.
But Lord, I just don't know that I can forgive that.
Then should I forgive you?
You're right. You're always right. And more than revenge, I want to be right with you. I'm tired of being angry and miserable. Okay. Lord, I forgive. But you've got to help me. Help my actions match my forgiveness. But I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your grace, and I'm going to need your spirit.
There now, that's more like it. How do you feel now?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. And in fact, it kind of feels like a weight has been lifted.
You are not through with your prayer. Go on.
All right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
I'm not sure I understand.
Sure you do. You've done a lot of times. You get into trouble, and then you come to me saying, Lord, help me out of this. I'll never do it again. You do remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me, don't you?
Yes, Lord, and I'm ashamed. I really am.
So which bargain are you remembering?
Come on, Lord, give me a break. I'm really sorry.
Go ahead, then. Let's finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Do you know what would bring me glory?
No, but I'd like to. I can see what a mess I've made of my life and how great it would be if I truly did follow you.
You just answered my question.
I did?
Yes, the thing that would really bring me glory is to have people like you who truly love me, and I see that happening between us now, that some of the old sinful attitudes are out of the way. There's no telling what we can do together.
Okay, Lord, let's see what we can do in me.
Yes, let's just see.
Amen.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed, and those who bear his name would wholly seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own way?
If my people call by my name.
Welcome to week 3 of Prayer Force. We've been talking over the last few weeks about prayer. We began in the first week talking about the purpose of prayer, and we learned there are 3 purposes for prayer the Bible tells us about. The first is to intimately know, love, and worship God. Secondly, to help us recognize our daily dependence on Him. And thirdly, to conform our lives to His will and His ways. Last week, we talked about the power of prayer, and we learned that underneath the miracles and the amazing teaching and the way Jesus interacted with people, he set an example of devotion to prayer by intentionally setting aside times to be with God away from people and away from distractions. And if we want to experience the power of God in our lives, we also must be devoted to prayer. Today, we want to talk about the pattern of prayer. And as we begin, I'd like to share with you a few words from a rather prolific preacher. His name was Dwight L. Moody. He lived during the 19th century, and he was the founder of the Moody Bible Church and later the Moody Bible Institute, and was responsible for sending many out to preach the gospel. And I want to share a few quotes from him that I thought were rather enlightening. The first one that I thought, wow, this is great. The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. Doesn't matter what you know, he's saying. It's what you do with what you know. Or particularly for Father's Day, I thought this was kind of a good one. A man ought to live so that everyone knows he's a Christian. And most of all, his family ought to know. But as it relates to our Prayer Force series, look at this quote from D.L. Moody. I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. And that was quite a statement, because he was a great preacher. But he says, I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Why? Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Wow. We find this request from the disciples in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke records it this way. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. We talked about that a lot last week, didn't we? As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Teach us to pray, So what were the disciples really asking for when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray? Well, in some regards, it's easy to think they were asking for a formula or some kind of a script. They knew prayer was supposed to have power, and they knew that prayer was supposed to accomplish something. So I think what they were trying to ask was, Jesus, how can we pray so God will listen to us like he listens to you? And in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus teaching this. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 775. I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open to this passage because we will continue reading. But I want us to begin in verses 9 through 13 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking and he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. We know this as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer has been revered by Christians for around 2,000 years. We memorize it, we repeat it reverently, we even sing songs about it. But I have a question this morning. Did Jesus really intend for us to repeat his words verbatim? What do you think? I see a few heads shaking no. Well, since you got your Bibles open right there, let's look at verses 7 and 8, the verses preceding this. Jesus said, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So preceding this prayer that many believers repeat over and over again, Jesus said, don't repeat the same words over and over again. And somehow we miss that. When Jesus said, when you pray, he warned strongly against long and repetitious prayers. He says, don't babble on and on and on and on and on and on, merely repeating the same words over and over again. Why? Because God's not impressed with how many words we use. He's not. God doesn't listen any more intently if we repeat the same words over and over again. Remember, prayer at its very heart is simply talking with your Father. I've read from the paraphrase the message to you before, and I realize most of you don't have it with you, so I'm going to put it on the screen. But I want you to look at how Eugene Peterson paraphrased these verses, Matthew 6, 7, and 9, and put it in a more common vernacular that maybe helps you think about it a little different. Look what he says. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Well, at this juncture, some of you are probably wondering, David, are you saying it's wrong to recite the Lord's Prayer? Well, no, I'm not saying that at all. It is a good place to start. But if your prayer life never goes beyond repeating word for word a prayer that Jesus intended to be a model, well, there's a problem. You know, in the beginning of the series, I introduced the idea of the smartphone. And I talked about in the book by the Kendrick brothers, they said prayer is not about prayer. And we use this illustration of a phone. A phone is not about the phone. The phone is about what you can do with it, who you can communicate with. And we talked about that same thing is true in prayer. But I want you to think about your phone. When your friend calls, you want to talk to a real person, don't you? When your friend calls, you want to have a real conversation, don't you? When your friend calls, you want to talk about real things in your life, don't you? And I want you to think about the same way with prayer, talking with your Father. When you pray to God, he wants to talk to a real person, you. When you pray to God, he wants to have a real conversation with you. When you pray to God, he wants to talk about real things going on with you. And sometimes when we repeat scripted prayers and think we'll be heard for their many words, it's just like maybe one of your kids calling you and repeating the same phrases over and over again, and you wonder, what's wrong? I thought we had a relationship here. Remember, the purpose of prayer is to intimately know, love, and worship God. It's to help us recognize our daily dependence on Him and to conform our lives to His will in His ways. And you can't accomplish these things without having a real conversation, right? So what is the pattern of prayer? Let me put the words up on the screen in the King James Version, the one we're most familiar with, and I'm going to talk about the pattern with each of these phrases. The first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Words that for many of us we've burned into our memories and our hearts. What's the pattern? What's the heart of it? I think the heart of this is to just recognize God as your Father and give Him the honor He's due. And how appropriate we're talking about this on Father's Day, right? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's the pattern there? I think it's simply to pledge your allegiance to His kingdom, to His will, and to His ways. I'm going to follow you. I want your will to be done, not mine. "Give us this day our daily bread." What's that about? Well, as we've talked about, simply recognizing and acknowledging your daily dependence on Him. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." What's the pattern there? I think it's really important that we offer confession of your own sins and forgiveness to those who have sinned against you. I think that's the key there. In the last line, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Just asking God for divine protection and strength for this spiritual battle in which you're engaged. I think that's the pattern of what Jesus was talking about, not the specific words. Now, somebody put these concepts into an acronym, and I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but I find this helpful in my prayer time. They call it the ACTS of prayer. Have any of you heard of it? Each letter stands for a different theme of a time of prayer. The A simply stands for adoration, adoring God, just letting Him know how much you love and appreciate Him. And that's the hallowed be thy name idea, right? Here's a few scriptures that kind of reinforce this. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I'm God." So many times we're so busy, we can't even sit still and acknowledge Him. Psalm 95:6-7, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care." That's why I chose the song that we opened worship with today, "We Fall Down." It's a song of adoration. It's a song of worship. This carries on in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-6. Right out of the gate, Paul says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be His holy people without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He's poured out on us who belong to His dear Son." That's adoration. The C in the acronym ACTS stands for confession, and that was a part of the Lord's Prayer too, wasn't it? Proverbs 28:13 says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy." 1 John 1:8-9 says, "If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." The T in the word ACTS stands for thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15, the New King James Version puts it this way, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Ephesians 5:18-19, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have adoration, we have confession, we have thanksgiving, all setting it up for what most of us do with our prayer time. The S stands for supplication. Supplication is a fancy word that I don't use every day in my vocabulary, but it simply means presenting your request to God. And they use the word supplication because it made the S on the axe, right? So it's easy to remember. But when you see the word supplication, it just means making our requests. And I'll tell you what, one of the nearest and dearest scriptures for me in thinking about this comes from the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, where Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The acts of prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication or requests. These are the acts of prayer. And these really help me set up my personal prayer time. And if you've never heard this before, I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. If you have heard it before, but maybe haven't been putting into practice, maybe this will be a good reminder. But I want to turn back to Matthew again. Matthew 6, back it up to verse 5. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. See, it was very common back in Jesus' days, especially in the courtyard of the temple, for many of the Jewish religious leaders that wanted to be seen by men to not have even a prayer posture where they're bowing. They would look up to heaven and hold out their hands and do their prayer so everyone can see how much they love God and by inference how much God must love them. And Jesus even told a story about a man who was a Pharisee who came to the temple and prayed. And he prayed a braggadocious prayer that was basically saying, God, you're lucky to have me. Here's the things I do for you. And he listed them. And he said, I'm a good guy, not like that tax collector over there. And Jesus said that poor tax collector who was probably hiding in a corner of the temple trying not to be seen simply dropped his head and beat his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one went home justified before God? A lot of his disciples were like, I know, it was the Pharisee. And Jesus says, no, it was the one who was humble before God. God doesn't want us to show off our prayers. I've shared with you each week an excerpt from the Kendrick Brothers book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, and they had an insight on this particular point I wanted to share with you. They said, while public praying can be an important and powerful in the life of believers, Jesus' statement, when you pray, implies that your default daily prayer life should be to shut the door behind you and to pray to your Father in private. While corporate prayer can be extremely powerful in the church, Jesus says that getting alone and praying to God in secret is fundamental and foundational. Secret puts you in a situation where you can remove distractions, focusing all your attention on, here's the acts, adoring God, confessing sin to Him, thanking Him for His blessings and guidance, and presenting your requests to Him. It helps you stay humble, to be real, and to seek no other reward other than knowing Him, loving Him, and glorifying Him, which, as we've talked about, is the first purpose of prayer. Jesus put Himself in a position to be humble before God, to be real, and to seek no other reward rather than glorifying His Father by submitting to His will. We've been talking as we prepare for communion time each week about Jesus' prayer time in the garden. And Paul gives us a unique perspective of this humble submission to God in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Look how Paul described it and how this applies to you and me. He said, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He died for sins He never committed, but but he paid the price for my sins and for your sins. In the night before he gave his life, he told his disciples as they celebrated the Passover meal, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." And he took elements from the table, bread, which he said, "I want you to think of my body when you eat this." And he took the cup, and "I want you to think of my blood when you drink this. And I want you to remember what I'm about to do for you, and do it as often as you meet." And so each Lord's Day, we take time to remember Christ's humility before God, his submission to the Father's will in giving his life as a sacrifice for our sins. So let's pray now as we prepare our hearts for this Lord's Supper. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the example that you set for us in so many ways. The way that you kept your connection to God through plugging in to him through the power of prayer, and it fueled the rest of your life, your teaching ministry, the performing of miracles, the way that you were able to train and raise up disciples who could make disciples. But just now we want to focus mostly on the fact that you didn't really want to have to die, but you were willing to pay the price for our sins because you wanted the Father's will and not your own. So as we prepare our hearts to remember your sacrifice, we pray you'll bless these elements of bread and juice representing your body and blood. Help us to adore you for the love that you had for us. Help us to confess any sin that's in our lives and to thank you for this great gift of your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're invited to participate with us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. My challenge for you today is simply this. When you pray this week, find a private place away from people and distractions, and try to follow the Acts pattern of prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving before making any requests to God. And see how that changes your relationship with your Father. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for these important things we're learning from your word about prayer. Help us to stay true to the purpose of prayer, to the power of prayer. And today, help us focus on the pattern of prayer. It's good to have some prayers maybe that we've memorized and can recite, but help us grow beyond that to a real conversation with you as our Father who loves us. Oh, and by the way, happy Father's Day. We pray these things in the name of the Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating bread.